TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
You think you like football? Trent Dilfer doesn't just really like football. He loves football.
This is Spider 2 Snag. Not why banana, the one he likes, but that's Spider 2 Snag, and he knows what I'm talking about by using Anquan Boldin as the fullback.
Football!
Football, yeah! Football! Football!
Get some!
I miss Trent Dilfer as a football color commentator.
He loved football.
He was all right.
Oh.
I don't know, man.
He loved football.
I think he's really smart. I probably, you know what probably was? When he was still on, I was still in that awful phase of like, oh, I hate Joe Buck because he's Joe Buck, and I don't like Trent Dilfer because he never did anything. But like that was that part of me that used to exist that exists still in a lot of other people. I can admit when I was wrong and I can fix things, and I now like Joe Buck, and I probably would give Trent Dilfer a second chance.
Do you know what?
I don't like Peyton Manning. I don't like that. Oh, it will not change. I disagree.
Like
I think he'd be
Peyton's
excellent in a booth.
Fantastic.
I can't stand him.
Trent Dilfer called immediately Christian Ponder. He called that immediately.
Yeah, he said this isn't going to happen. Yeah,
when the lights come on, he's going to.
But I mean that was because I think that we all said, "Come on, dude, give this some time." No, Trent Dilfer was exactly correct.
Big snubbing, playing fast. They're getting up and snapping the ball. The Vikings are really, look at that movement. Those big guys for the Vikings are on skates.
Football.
All right, so welcome into the show, Purple Daily. This is Daily Vikings Entertainment in your podcast and YouTube feed, Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com, the ScoreNorth app, and YouTube. I'm Phil Mackey, Judd Zilged, Declan Goff is producing. He's also hosting a Sunday night version of Offseason Vikings Ventline that was great. Had a bunch of Vikings fans that we've had as regulars throughout the regular season Vikings Ventline. So check that out and get on the list if you want to participate. But gentlemen, let's have the discussion about Dalvin Cook here. Let's have a potentially could be an uncomfortable discussion,
whoa,
but I think it should be an objective discussion about Dalvin Cook's touches the last couple of years. All right.
Okay.
This sounds very weird right now. Ominous. Well,
is your mind in the gutter when I say Dalvin's
this
touches?
You said it's going to be a tough discussion. I mean,
it's not a creepy discussion.
It's the birds and bees of football or something.
Well, if it's a tough discussion, then I need to crack at least a Corona Hard Seltzer. Like, I have to at least go down that route.
That's why you're on the show, to remind me that right? We have sponsors to talk about here.
Because if Dalvin Cook is getting a lot of touches, then I need more Blackberry Lime Corona Hard Seltzers to prepare myself to understand why we have to establish more Dalvin Cook if he's already just Dalvin Cook and he's established he's one of the best damn backs in the league. But you know what? That's now Clint Kubiak problem. I'm going to let him figure that out. And maybe he can figure it out with a Corona Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer made with pure beach vibes, with a refreshing splash of fruit flavors such as tropical lime, mango, cherry, and blackberry lime. Corona Hard Seltzer is a tasty spike sparkling water with a splash of natural fruit flavor that allows you to enjoy the moment. In each can, Corona Hard Seltzer has zero carbs, zero sugar, 90 calories, and is gluten-free. Relax responsibly. Corona Hard Seltzer, spike sparkling water with natural flavors, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right. So Dalvin Cook touched the ball 356 times last year, and he missed a couple of games. So he was on pace to touch the ball probably 400 times, probably over 400 times if he had not missed time. So 356 touches last year, second in the NFL to just Derrick Henry, and 50 more touches than his previous career high the year before. And when he touched the ball 300 times in 2019, that was a huge jump from his first 2 years that involved injuries and sitting out. So the last couple of years we've seen, boom, big jump, and then another big jump. And I think what I would worry about here, and I just don't think you can go into the season and be like, all right, well, Dalvin's free of all of his injury risk, and you can just give him the ball a million times. I think what I would worry about here is there are so many examples of running backs making a jump in touches or hitting a career high in touches, a big number. I'm not talking like, oh, they got to 200. I mean, like when you hit 350 in today's NFL, or 400 in the case of like a Christian McCaffrey a couple years ago, and then boom, you have a major injury problem or you're out for 2 months because of something. The obvious example, McCaffrey, other examples, Terrell Davis, Jamal Anderson, those workloads were even more aggressive in the 1990s. But even more recently, Judd, like DeMarco Murray 5 years ago, all of a sudden, boom, boom, Never hear from the guy again. David Johnson a few years back was everyone's number one pick in fantasy drafts. And then like, all right, boom, big jump in touches. And then he was never the same guy. And now he's just sort of a shell of himself making $14 million. How worried are you that Dalvin is going to feel the effects of a high usage season in 2020?
I hate to say this, but very. He is a guy who is a big back who has great moves, but he also can punish guys and is not afraid to do so. And I feel that he is, while an outstanding player at what he does, I think he's a shelf life guy. Like, I think there's a certain, as with a ton of players, I think there's a certain amount of touches that he has, and then it's going to not necessarily completely go off the cliff, but it's going to begin to take a toll. And considering what the Vikings asked him to do in 2020, and he still missed, what, two games? I got to think he's going to miss about four games. And I just don't think, but every time that you ask him and basically say, you are our guy, we are going to put you in a position to be the focal point of what we're doing offensively. I feel that there is a clock ticking there, that it's not like, and next year it's going to, right? And next year it's going to come back and be just as good. And then this, and then that. And that's why I think that the smart move would be to get a different idea of how you're going to distribute the football in 2021 to use Dalvin Cook as effectively as possible. I don't think is to use him up as quickly as possible. And if we go back to Clint Kubiak now runs what Zim wants to run, which is, no pun intended, running the football, and it's the Dalvin show, and Dalvin's going to be great, I think that you are asking for trouble.
Yeah, is there a way, and this is where it's just, you know, sometimes running backs are just going to be ticking time bombs, regardless of whether you scale back five carries per game. And that's where I have a hard time believing that, like, okay, if Christian McCaffrey, instead of touching the ball, I don't know what his final, I think he touched the ball like 410 times or something in 2019. And then all of a sudden his 2020 is derailed by injuries. Mm-hmm. What percentage of that derailment is tied directly to him getting to an uncharted touches territory for him versus just bad luck being a football player and a running back? And then, like, if you were to go back and say, all right, we may have gone a little aggressive with the Christian McCaffrey touches, let's scale back from 400 and let's keep it at 370. Like, would that have mattered? And in the case of Dalvin, I go back and forth between, okay, you could scale back out of fear because he is a guy that tends to miss games here and there and chunks of season. So let's just make sure he's available to us, even if it means using him five times less per game, when he could just get injured anyways. Like, I'm almost in the camp that says, listen, he's on your team. He's one of your highest paid players. You know, if you can get 12 to 14 games out of him and live with, you know, missing 2 to 4 weeks, I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem with that. I almost say just ride him. I don't know, short of just like completely scaling him back into a platoon with Alex Mattison so that you're cutting his touches in half. And then all of a sudden he's not worth the $12 million anyways. You're paying him. He's in his prime. Mm-hmm. I would just go forward. Not recklessly, but I would go forward and just say, listen, dude, we're going to keep giving you the ball. We're going to throw a little bit more because I think strategically we have to do that to score more points. But you're still going to be a workhorse running back for us. So just stay healthy.
But please. You just hit on what I think is the most important part. And it's where selfishly I think that there needs to be a change is what you said, which is we're going to throw the ball more because, one, we've got the guys to throw the ball to, Jefferson, Irv Smith, Thielen, right? And so
here, Jalen Waddle.
Well, yeah, who knows? But here's the thing. Here's what, in my opinion, the thought process with Dalvin needs to change and can still make him incredibly effective and dangerous, but can also preserve him and make my offense potentially more explosive. Dalvin Cook is potentially as much of a threat not touching the football as he is touching it. Like, what do we talk about?
The mere existence of Dalvin Cook.
What do we talk about all the time? Play action. What is it? I put the ball in your gut. I take it out of your gut. and I throw it down the field.
We pretend to use you.
Yes.
But we
but
don't.
But that's what he should be used for. Like we talk about it, but the Vikings seem to default to, but let's really do it. Let's really give him the football. It's a no. No.
It's second and 18. We have two options. We could pretend to give it to the best running back in the NFL and then draw some defenders in and throw
them.
A ball.
Yes.
Or we could just give him the ball and hope he gets 5 yards and sets up a third and 13,
yes.
I guess.
But think about that. Like that's why selfishly from a game planning perspective, I think that you can have Cook, keep him healthy, use him still. But it drives me crazy that the Vikings, and we all talk about the play action threat. The play action threat means you don't really give him the football.
Yeah. On play action for a second here, since we're deep in these weeds, since we're crawling around in the football weeds
football.
Here. So Pro Football Focus gives you a ton of play action stats and everything you could ever imagine, like comparing play action versus non-play action. And in 2020, Kirk Cousins was the fourth best play action passer in terms of pure passer rating in all of the NFL. Aaron Rodgers had a 138.1 play action passer rating. This is ridiculous. Aaron Rodgers, 21 touchdowns, no interceptions on play action, and a 73% completion percentage for a 138 rating. Just ridiculous. Deshaun Watson was actually second on this list with a 131.2 passer rating. Also would look great in a play action system here.
Yes, he would.
With the Kubiak.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Brady was third at a 124.4. Kirk Cousins had a 122.3 passer rating on play action. 18 touchdowns, 4 picks, almost 10 yards per attempt. Mm-hmm. And I think the next question is, oh, okay, so Kirk is amazing at play action, right? Well, he was only ninth in attempts. He had 50 fewer play-action attempts than Josh Allen did last year.
That's my very point.
So could you take, and of those like, the math doesn't work out perfectly because it's possible the Bills played more plays or whatever, but, like, could you swap out 30 runs for 30 play-actions,
yes.
Even two a game, right? Like, two or three a game.
Yes.
Runs for play-actions, play to your strength, throwing the ball play-action, something that Kirk does well, and you're also just, like, even if it's only, 10 to 15% wear and tear, you're being a little more responsible with Dalvin Cook.
Yes.
How does that sound?
It sounds fantastic. I'm not even talking about taking Cook's snaps and taking them down. I'm talking about he can be out on the damn field all the time. What I'm talking about is if we're going to talk about what makes him a threat and preserve him, the answer is staring you in the face.
Yeah.
What you just said, statistically, it is time when it comes to Kirk, and I hope that the Kirk stands and us can all agree, it is time to find out what he can do and trust him completely. And if he fails, he fails. But you have the threats around him to be successful, right? But this is where the Kirk thing drives me crazy, Phil, because it's always, and this comes from the team, the kid gloves. Mm-hmm. Well, we really like Dalvin more. Why? Like, you're paying this quarterback a ton. Dalvin's a threat. Like, the Vikings, think about the things offensively that the Vikings give us from a lip service standpoint, right? Play action. They always talk about it. Well, it's a huge threat, but you really don't do it enough. Like, you talk about it. You think that we're so dumb that we're like, oh, play action is fantastic. And so is a third and 75 run. Like, but seriously, like, if you're going to do this, you are paying Kirk far too much to treat him with kid gloves as much as you do.
Yeah. Yeah, I would lean into play action because you're not going to overhaul the system. It's a Kubiak system. I would lean into play action. I would reduce some of the carries. And, some of this is simple math, too, right? When the Vikings run play action, Kirk Cousins averages almost 10 yards per attempt.
Yeah.
When the Vikings hand the ball off to Dalvin Cook, that number gets cut in half.
Yes.
And obviously it's not as simple as, well, just throw all the time then. Like, there has to be the threat of a run, but the threat is there, like you said, because Dalvin Cook is suited up. And just him being in a uniform is the threat. Now, here's the other part of it. Just in terms of the way that the Vikings are allocating salary cap resources, all right? Mm-hmm. Dalvin Cook, starting in 2021, starts to get this new contract poured into his bank account, right? 2021 is not going to be quite like 2021. His base is only 1.5 and his cap hit is 5.1. So they're actually in a decent spot with him. Then his cap hit goes up to $12 million in 2022 and then $14 million in 2023. And then you can start to think about getting out of the contract if you want around like 2023. But the next couple of years, he's pretty much locked in. His cap number jumps up to $12 million, et cetera. All right. A couple listeners sent us this information, a screenshot. I wish I could credit someone, but it's just a screenshot that's floating around. And a couple of our Purple Daily listeners have sent this to Declan and I via DMs on Twitter. OK,
is it reckless?
It's not reckless at all. It's actually very interesting.
OK,
I'm just going to read this off because I can't pull it up on the screen here. OK, because I'm technologically incompetent. So these are.
I've always said that.
Yep. If I'm technologically incompetent, what does it make you?
Why didn't you call me? I could have helped you last night.
So Super Bowl winning leading rusher. So teams that have won the Super Bowl over the last 12 years and who their leading rusher was in that game and what their salary has been since 2009. Last year, the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, or this year, whatever. Leonard Fournette, $2 million base salary. The Chiefs with Damian Williams, $1 million base salary.
Yep.
Now, some of these teams spent money on, like this, you know, in this case, like a running back might have been injured and this is a backup, so grain of salt. But Patriots 2018, Sony Michel, $480,000. Back to back Eagles Patriots, LeGarrette Blount, $900,000, $760,000. CJ Anderson with the Broncos, $580,000. Another LeGarrette Blount, $730,000. So the lesson here is just sign LeGarrette Blount, apparently.
Yeah, you win a Super Bowl.
For less than $1 million. Percy Harvin, as a wide receiver, led the Seahawks in rushing in the Super Bowl in 2013. His base salary was like $2.5 or $3 million, but that's kind of an outlier. Ray Rice in 2012 at $2 million. Ahmad Bradshaw, $1.5 million. James Starks, $300,000. Pierre Thomas, $400,000. Moral of the story, in the actual Super Bowl game, the winning team in the last 12 years has not had a high profile, highly paid and high cap hit running back. Doesn't mean that you can't necessarily, but when you start to look at the highest paid running backs in the NFL and how their teams are performing right now. So the teams with the highest paid running backs in the league right now.
Yes.
I'm going to list these teams. You tell me how many Super Bowl contenders are in this group. Okay.
Okay.
Cowboys, Panthers, Giants, Broncos, Texans, Vikings, Texans again, because Duke and David Johnson both show up on this list.
And they took and the Johnson Titans. In the Hopkins trade.
And the Titans are on this
the
list.
Titans, yeah.
Who are the Broncos paying at running? Who's
the Broncos running back?
They're spending a large amount of salary cap on running backs. I mean, they should probably, you know, give my guy Drew Lock a big payday, but I didn't know that they were giving running backs a lot of money. And if they're in the.
Melvin Gordon.
Oh, Melvin Gordon. Okay.
Yeah.
$8 million.
Who couldn't get paid by the Chargers?
Yep.
Because you know what? The Chargers were smart.
And so, and now starting, Alvin Kamara jumps into this group starting this year. He becomes the second highest paid player in the NFL. But like the team, in general, the teams that are putting a ton of money into running backs are not Super Bowl contenders, unless you think the Titans are Super Bowl contenders.
They're a very good playoff type team. They're not a Super Bowl contender, in my opinion.
And I think the reason is twofold. One being that like you're obviously taking resources away. If you're the Cowboys and you're paying Zeke Elliott $15 million a year, you're taking away from in the trenches. You're taking away from something else that is maybe more. It's more of a foundational thing that you need to win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
But I think the other thing too is when you're paying a running back that much money, you feel obligated. Well, we need to run the ball more. We need to have a run-first scheme, and in general, if you have a run-heavy offense, it's going to limit your upside scoring 30 points in a game because the math doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You're doing it in 4- and 5-yard chunks as opposed to 9-yard chunks through the air. So very interesting list, and I don't love that the Vikings are part of that, but I also think Dalvin Cook is an amazing player and one of the most explosive guys in the NFL. So Dalvin Cook on a rookie contract, luxury, awesome. Dalvin Cook making $12 million a year in a run-centric offense? I don't know.
It's also one position where I think a long-term rich extension is an invitation to positional disaster. And here's why. Look at the Giants. Barkley, right? What happened? He tore his knee. That's a position in which a lot of guys tear knees, right?
Yeah, just boom. Yep.
The second thing is, and this will happen to Henry here, I think, fairly soon, the cliff. when you go off that cliff, you don't come back. Like you don't say, you know what, I need a couple of weeks off and I'm going to be fine. You're off that cliff. Zeke, you're off that cliff and you're changed. Doesn't mean you're awful, but you're off that cliff. So you can no longer make up the difference between your payday now and production.
Yeah, or the third round pick that could just jump in for $300,000.
But I mean, think about that, Phil. How many positions in this sport are as susceptible to disaster as that one?
Yeah,
there's not a lot. It's a tough sport, but there's not a lot of spots where you could basically say, in 2 years, you could go from being a star to being just completely washed.
Well, it's one of the, in a violent sport, it's really the only position, and in some cases, tight end wide receiver, where you just have no control over how people hit you. That you're going to get the ball 20 times, and all 20 times, not even including the times where you're blocking, right?
Yep.
All 20 times, you're going to get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get to dictate where that opposing player hits you. Mm-hmm. If you're an offensive lineman, you could blow a knee out and someone could fall into your leg, but you have a little bit more control over, like, all right, I'm going to hand fight this guy. So it's just a higher risk position.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, I know a lot of people think the salary cap is fake, but like you can manipulate it and you can push money into the future, but you can't pay top dollar at every position. You've got to make some salary cap sacrifices. The Vikings right now are paying top dollar to a running back. They're paying top dollar to linebackers. They're paying top dollar, at least last year, to two safeties and a quarterback. A quarterback, by the way, that had the fifth, whether you love him or hate him, Kirk Cousins had the fifth fewest pass attempts or something like that in the league last year.
That's what I'm saying. You got to take the kid gloves off.
And so, you know, where are you paying? Yeah, you can't pay top dollar every position. Where are you paying top dollar to? The Vikings need to really examine that.
What is your priority is the question. Not like...
Well, you can't do anything about
Dalvin. I got a lot of star players. No, but we talked about it before he signed it. And we said very, very clearly what we said is he's a really good player and here's why you can't give him a huge contract. And that's the truth. And I would, there is no running back who I would reward with a long-term huge contract. You unfortunately are playing the wrong position to get what you want.
Like right now, let's say right now.
I love Kamara, but I wouldn't give him a huge contract.
I'll use Joe Thuney as an example because Joe Thuney's still in his prime and the next contract he signs will be, you know, he's a left guard. Probably be like a 3-4 year guaranteed deal or something. If you could swap out Dalvin Cook for one of the best left guards in the NFL
to
fortify your offensive line and Alex Mattison becomes your starting running back and your pass protection's better.
I would do it. I would do it.
And you draft a wide receiver in the first round. Like, I would do it too.
Because you know what? Now I can have the proper pass protection for my highly paid QB who I expect to thrive.
Yeah.
Like if the whole starting point is, I don't know what he can really do. You got a problem. You've got what you have right now is a collection of really good stat stuffers. But how does it work on game day? Right? And you're right. If you go get a guard and if you can pass protect for Kirk, now you can go to Kirk and say, there's no more excuses here. We have now put you in the ultimate position to succeed in a passing league.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a conversation.
But I do think that you can cut back on Dalvin's actual workload in 2021 and still thrive.
Yep. And it might be imperative if you want him to, you know, play out a large portion of that contract to just pump the brakes a little bit on the touches per game. And maybe it benefits everybody.
Golf USA's Golf Show sale is going on right now. 10,000 golf items discounted to the best prices of the year.
Used equipment 50% off.
Golf USA has brought their amazing Golf Show deals back to the store
for the biggest sale of the year.
Inventory is limited, so get in early for the best selection. Over 10,000 golf items discounted to the best prices of the year.
All used equipment 50% off.
Don't miss out. Head out right now to Golf USA's Golf Show sale. Golf USA in Eden Prairie at the corner of Prairie Center and Flying Cloud Drive.
Also, there's some, we got to mix in a little bit of
reckless speculation.
Because now there's even more to this Russell Wilson thing in a second. And reckless speculation today is powered by our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. If you're a business owner and a Purple fan, this is the intersection for you because not only is Federated a great partner of ours here on Purple Daily, but they're a great partner for business owners going back to the early 1900s. They are one of us, and they have been around for a long time. And Federated Mutual Insurance Company recently launched MyShield, the online client destination for risk management resources. Think about how helpful it would be as a business owner if you'd have employee training at your fingertips. Industry resources that can help your business reach another level of success. Find out more about the resources Federated and MyShield can bring to your business at federatedinsurance.com or download the app. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. And boys, Judd sent this note over last night. That the latest Pro Football Talk report is that one third of the NFL has called the Seattle Seahawks about Russell Wilson, and that the belief is the starting point for any deal is 3 first-round picks. If that's the case, Deshaun Watson could get 4 first-round picks. And as Judd notes in his note, it also backs up my theory that, listen, if teams are calling on Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, who are a level up or two from Kirk, and they're trading for Matt Stafford and Carson Wentz, right, and Jimmy Garoppolo, and, you know, if they're calling on Sam Darnold, that they're also calling on Kirk Cousins. And by the way, you might say that, like, well, I mean, why would Kirk be available? You know, the Vikings offense was 4th in yards. Why would Russell Wilson be available?
Right.
Why would Deshaun Watson be available? Well, because those guys have sort of voiced some displeasure.
But Wilson, but look, no. Russell is upset because his O-line doesn't give him proper protection, and that's not something Kirk... Oh, hold on. Oh, wait, I'm wrong about that.
There, by the way, what you just brought up, there is a discussion to be had at some point from Kirk's perspective. Like, we all just think, oh, this is a conversation about whether the Vikings want to deal Kirk or not. It's possible Kirk's looking at some of the same stuff saying, guys, listen, I'm an amazing play-action thrower, and I threw the ball... I had the 27th pass attempts in the NFL. I want Kirk to cook too.
Let's say it's accurate that that the Vikings have broached the discussion of another restructure and extension with Kirk, okay? Which is very possible. And in fact, I'd say it's probable.
I would say it's likely.
Now, let's say that Kirk has said, no, guys, you know what? I did that last year. I'm cool now. That is 100% him basically saying, if you trade me, I don't care. Like, if you were all in, right? If you were all in here and the company came and said, Phil, we got some problems. We got some problems here.
Some short-term
problems. We love you. We love you. We want you here. But we need to restructure you. But we can't make you do it. And you said, guys, you know what? I'm cool. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm good. And they're like, we've been talking to iHeart. We might have to trade you. And you're like, oh, guys, I'm good. You do what you have to do. That's this.
iHeart Mackey.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's this.
They changed the name of their company. They want you bad.
They are trying to get you. But that's this. Like, if he is telling them, I am not restructuring, that's an invitation to say, if you discuss me with other teams, possibly San Francisco, I'm not going to be mad.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Kirk, I mean, if you're the Vikings, you would love in the short term to lower that cap number. And if you love Kirk, listen, this is a long-term marriage. We would just love to have you all throughout your 30s. So let's come up with a deal that makes more sense for us in the short term, et cetera, right? Like, you'd broach that conversation. And if you're Kirk, and if you really do, as he said to Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk, want to play out the rest of your career in purple, if that's the case, wouldn't you also be willing to make a short-term sacrifice? And it wouldn't even be a sacrifice to your bank account.
Right.
It's all the same. Like, you're making the same amount of money. It's just being smoothed out in different ways for the future.
Right.
Those conversations are all happening, if they haven't already, behind the scenes. And like I told you guys last week, I guarantee you the Vikings have received trade offers for Kirk Cousins, and it'll be interesting if any of them ever get floated out to an Adam Schefter or an Ian Rapoport. And the only way it would get floated out is if one of the two sides for leverage wanted it out there, right? Or if another team wanted it out there that, hey, we want to get this thing going. Here's the offer. Let's get this thing going out in the public eye.
Absolutely.
I guarantee you that there's been an offer. And I think it becomes more real if all of a sudden Ian Rapoport says, oh, yeah, the Niners called, but the price was too high. The Vikings wanted 3 first-round picks for Kirk Cousins. Like, yeah. We don't know what the pricing is, but we've got some framework with the Stafford and the Carson Wentz trades.
The key thing to keep in mind now, I think, is this. If you don't like this Cousins potential trade speculation and you're just tired of this QB talk, I can't help you right now because I think we're in for basically 2 to 3 months of this. When Russell Wilson's name is clearly being floated, like for real, with draft picks attached, this is real. Like these things are...
Teams are making
this
offers.
This is not a reckless speculation only Mackey and Judd bit. This is very
reckless speculation.
This is happening. This is happening, and we can't control it. So we are on the train. The only
just go with it, man.
The only question is, do you want to join the quarterback reckless speculation train? Because, folks, it has left the station.
It's a lifestyle, really.
I mean, yes. But I mean, we jumped on midstream. Like, it started to move.
You know,
and Dex is like, let's go get it.
Yeah. Hail it. We'll let you on.
Hail it.
Here you go.
Dex is controlling the gates.
What is the cap?
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Stafford.
Hey, Mr. Score North.
Anyway, it's real.
It's real to me, damn it.
It's real.
Yep.
Russell Wilson's out there.
Okay, real quick. Would you guys trade 3 first-round picks for 32-year-old, 33-year-old Russell Wilson?
I don't think I would. Not at his age and salary. Like, the Watson thing that intrigues me is the age.
Yeah.
His cap's going to be huge.
Yeah, I'd rather have Watson than Wilson.
Yeah, I think I'm willing
Wilson's awesome, but...
I think I'm willing to do 3 to 4, or talk about 3 to 4 first-round picks for Watson. I don't think I can do Wilson now.
Dude, Russell
Wilson. I love
Wilson,
but I don't think I can do it right now.
God, that dude is so...
32-ish?
He just turned 32 in November.
Okay, yeah, I probably... That's tough.
Yep. I don't think they're
going to... Two first-round picks?
He won't get traded. Deshaun Watson, I would think at this point, I know that the Texans continue to say, we're not trading him.
They're trading him.
They should keep saying that until someone offers 4 first-round picks.
And then they should say, Deshaun, we traded you. Yep. You're gone.
All right, that's a wrap on today's episode of Purple Daily. Write that down, predictions tomorrow, and an accountability session. So check us out. And be sure, if you want to be part of the Write That Down segment, you can send a DM to @PhilMackey or @Dex's tweets on Twitter, and we'll get you scheduled up. We'll see you guys next time.